Blog Talk Radio. Father God in heaven, we thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for this hurricane
missing family members, oh God, missing friends, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are watching over your children, oh God. And we are asking you to continue watching over your children, oh God, through the floods, through the rain, through the storms. Lord God, we ask you to continue watching over your children, God. Continue guiding and leading us towards you, God, towards your light, God. But there is none like you, Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning and you are end. Lord God, I lift up my home. I lift up my sons. I lift up my daughter. I lift up family. Asking you to continue watching over them, watching over friends, oh God. Guiding and leading them toward more of you, God. Let us not just talk the word. Let us live the word. Let us not just be those that look at a book, but not look at our lives, God. But Father God, I lift up my home, and I lift up those that are in need today. Lord God, as temperatures are starting to drop, I pray for shelter for the homeless. I pray for sustenance. I pray for clothing. I pray for all the things that are needed. I pray that you lead me to help those that I can help. For I know that you have blessed me to be a blessing, God. So, Father God, as I lift up our planet and I lift up our teachers and preachers and pastors, Lord God, I continue to thank you for bringing my pastor safely to our destination, God. That you have a great time in time with you and time in friendship and fellowship. And Father God, I, again, thank you for watching over my nephew, my god nephew, and his wife and family as the storm changed course and avoided their home. Lord God, I pray for my continued blessings over my family and friends, oh God, that are in Florida, that are on the coast. I pray for my brother within Virginia, Lord God. I pray for all my family and friends on the coast, oh God. But we know that the storm is not over. But we also know, Lord God, that you will bring us through. But you will never take us through to what you cannot bring us through. And you are in charge of everything. And we stand on our word, your word, Lord God. That you will never leave us off, attention. That you will be with us always, God. We believe and stand on your word. And Father God, as I give this word this morning, I ask you, Lord, as I ask you every day, please increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my sin, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. And it is in Jesus' name that I lift up this word. Ask you that it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's ear. And that you cover them, Father God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet with the blood of Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Giving God the glory, honor, and hallelujah praise that he deserves. God deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. As the psalmist says, I lift my hands in worship. And I magnify his name. Hallelujah. We magnify the name of the Lord today, thanking him for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God this morning. Let's get started, family. We are in Isaiah chapter 49 through chapter 50, verse 11. We are also will be in the 112th Psalm, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs 26, verses Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to get our little book out, and we're going to go over what the Bible says. We just finished Galatians on yesterday. But we did not have what the Bible says when we went into Galatians. So we will catch up today when we get to our New Testament word. So let's get into our Old Testament word and let's get started. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 1. And it says this, listen from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And I just want to put a pin really quick there. You know, if you are a sci-fi or movie person, and I will be honest, I like movies and I love sci-fi. Because what I found is, as I've been reading the Word of God, so many, what we think is fantasy, this and that, is based on biblical principles. It's based on the Word of God that is taken and moved and made into something that's quote-unquote fantasy, you know, and because the word matrix, I hadn't really heard the word matrix until the movie. And what did the matrix do? It changed the reality of how we think and how we move and how movies were made. All of a sudden, everybody was trying to be Neo, you know, and in the matrix where he could bend back and do all these crazy things. But then when we read the Word of God, it's like, wait a minute. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. If you get opportunity to watch the Matrix movies, you will find that they try in their own little subtle movie magic way to make Neo almost like Jesus, and he's not. And we should never get it twisted. But sometimes things are made to get people's attention so they're more open to the Word of God. So don't get all bent out of shape over something that you say, oh, well, that's that fantasy stuff and da-da-da. You never know that fantasy stuff can lead someone to Christ if given in the right way. So, and so many things that we considered fantasy 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago is our reality. So always think about things like that. Because every time I look at my iWatch, I say, wow, this is Dick Tracy stuff. You know, especially when you look at your phone and you're talking to somebody's face, Star Trek and stuff. You know, different things that we have now, we better be careful. You know, we don't want no Terminator stuff. You know, we got to understand that so many things that are in the world of fantasy can become our reality. So we need to really watch movies because you don't want some realities to come to fruition. So just think that there and, you know, just, but let's keep it moving. And it goes on to say this. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. Come on now. I got to read that again. Hallelujah. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work is with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him? But I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And my God shall be my strength. Hallelujah. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, as he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show your God. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither hear heat nor sun shall strike them. But he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. I'm going to read that again. Verse number 9. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the road, and the pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. But he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the of water. He will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and those from the land of the moon. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyer and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around, and see all these gathered together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourself with them all as an ointment and bind them on you as a bridegroom. For your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost the others will say again in their ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Then you will say in your heart, who has forgotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and a wanderer to and fro, and who has brought these up, there I was left alone. But these, where are they? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the people. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood, as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Praise the Lord today. In the life lesson from Isaiah chapter 49:15, I will not forget you. God has not forgotten us. We may think as we look at the message of our life that God has forgotten me. God has not heard my cry. God is not listening. But let me tell you something. He hears you. I know he hears me. I may, as they say, I may be broken, but I know that I am worthy to be a child of God. Because sometimes he's got to break us down for us to appreciate our blessings. God loves you more than any mother has ever loved her own son or daughter. Everything he does in your life, he does out of love for the love's sake. He allows even the hard times for your benefit. Thank you, God. God allows even a hard time for our benefit. He will help you get through your mess. I'm believing God to help me get through some messes that I got created. You know, I have created. I can't claim anybody else created my mountains a mess. I have. And it's God that will help me get through it one thing at a time. We got to ask God one day at a time. That's all I'm asking of you. We got to ask God to teach us to pray. We got to lift our hands. We got to give God glory because that is who God is through. And that's who's going to bring you through. Through the storms of life. Through the message of life. God is always there. Carrying you. Through your jungle. Through your darkness. Through your strife. Through whatever you're going through. Whether it be depression or addiction. Whatever you're going through, God is there. Why? Because he said, I will not forget you. And I believe that I stand on the word of God. Chapter 50 of Isaiah. All I can say is the prophet Isaiah rocks. I am so looking forward to getting to so many of this word. I love me some Isaiah. I know Joshua is my guy, but I love Isaiah. The prophetic word will touch your heart. Everything he has spoken has come true. Some has, some is coming. We just got to read, watch, as well as pray. Chapter 50 of the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourself, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Whoa. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness that fish sink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I glow the heavens with darkness, and I make the sackcloth of their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and understanding. But the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be beset my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Come on, Jesus, you better speak. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from me, from my enemy. You shall lie down for me. And let's go to our life lesson from chapter 50 of Isaiah. And it says, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And again, we may read around it because I like keeping things in context. Because sometimes we can get into a word and it's out of context and we don't understand it the way it should be understood. So let's go to our word this morning, and we're going to go over the second, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is the last verse of the chapter. And it says this, so let's go up just a little bit. And we'll go to verse 1. And it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it said, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. If you know and feel certain that God is for you, then you too can set your face like a flint and be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Come on now. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Dark times come upon all of us. That's part of life in a fallen world. But we do not have to grope blindly as those without hope. We trust God in the dark. Take his hand and go where he leads. Hallelujah. Are you taking the hand of the Lord today? Are you allowing him to lead you today? Are you walking in darkness? Father God, I pray for your leadership. Lead me, Lord, in the way that you want me to go. In Jesus' name. Psalm 112, Psalm verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say that again. I love saying praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can y'all say that with me one more time? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Until the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Woo, praise the Lord, y'all. As I can say is praise the Lord, everybody. Gotta read this psalm one more time. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness and righteous. Praise God this morning, y'all. As you go into Proverbs 26:13-15, this is a word when we want to just say, oh, I don't feel like doing anything. You know, there are folks that don't get out of bed. They don't even eat because they just don't feel like it. I don't feel like eating because I don't want to get out of my bed today. We got to be careful we don't fall into that trap. Because this is the word of God. It says a lazy man says, there's a lion in the road. A big lion is in the street. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It worries him to bring him back to his mouth. Put my hand in the bowl. But too lazy to pick it up and put it in your mouth to eat your food. Just like taking a spoon, picking it up, and eating. Did you touch the spoon? Look at the spoon. Put it in the bowl. Oh, I just don't feel like picking it up. So you sit there and you look at your oatmeal. And you say, oh, yeah, whatever. You're too lazy to pick up the spoon. That's like being too lazy to go get a job. As they said, what is unemployment 3.5? So everybody should be working. Whatever your job is, do it. And do your best. And don't be ashamed of whatever it is that God gave you to do. Because everything is for a purpose and a reason. And I'm speaking that because I've been there. To go from the executive office to the executive bathroom. To go from the top to the basement. Come on now. Been there, done that. Got screwed over t-shirts. But grateful, thankful, and blessed that God didn't allow man to break me. Because God gave me joy. God gave me peace. God gave me everything I needed in the midst. Don't have any hatred. Don't have any issues. Because I know that I'm blessed. Better than blessed. Because wherever I went, I took him with me. I allowed his light to shine in me. Because it was not my fight. It was God's fight. Because whatever you do, understand. You may not get it when you think you're going to get it. But God's going to get you. When you do wrong to God's chosen and anointed, God will get you. When you treat God's people wrong, God will get you. You don't have to be mad and angry at anybody who's hurt or harmed you. When you are a child of God, understand that vengeance is the Lord's, and you give it to God and keep it moving. Because God is who covers his children. He covers us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet every day, morning by morning, through mercies we see to the God. And let's get into what the Bible says this morning. We're getting ready to go into a new book. Yay! We are just cooling right along, y'all. We are already in Ephesians. We were in Galatians on last week, and I was out of town and didn't have my little book with me. But we're going to go back over what we learned in Galatians, and then we're going to start Ephesians. And we're going to go through Know Your Bible. Can y'all say it with me? Know Your Bible. It's a little 99-cent book that's out on ChristianBooks.com. And I tell you, it is so worth having when you are studying, you know, because it kind of gives you an overview before you get in it. So we should have learned in Galatians that it was authored by the Apostle Paul, that it was probably dated around 49 A.D. as one of Paul's earliest letters. In 10 words or less, Christians are free from restricted Jewish law. Details, please. Writing to several regional churches, Paul can only marvel. The Galatian church Christians have turned from their freedom in Jesus back to rules of Old Testament Judaism. Some people try to compel Christians to live as do the Jews. And we saw that in chapter 2. An error even the Apostle Peter made, also in chapter 2. Paul argued strongly that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, but the just shall live by faith. Woo! And that's Galatians 3 and 11. And a quotable is, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Galatians 3 and 1. The fruit of the Spirit, we know 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. The unique and unusual about Galatians, one of Paul's closing comments, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Galatians 6 and 11. Make some believe that poor eyesight was the apostle's thorn in the flesh. It's 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Because, you know, Paul talked about his thorn. But he says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. We don't know. That's all speculation. We don't know what his thorn was. Because we all have our thorns. So what? Old Testament rules don't control Christian lives. But God's Spirit should. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 and 16. Now, our Ephesians way, what we should gain out of Ephesians as we start this book, that it was written by the Apostle Paul. It was around AD 62, toward the end of Paul's life. In 10 words or less, Christians are all members of Jesus' body, the church. Details, please. Paul had started the church in Ephesus. And now explains in detail the church members' relationship to Jesus Christ so that they may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Chapter 4, verse 15. Through Jesus, God has reconciled both Jews and Gentiles. That is chapter 2. This new life should result in pure, honest living in the church and in the chapters 4 through 6. Quotables, please, y'all. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not a work, lest any man should boast. We'll get to that on tomorrow. Put on the whole armor. We all love this word. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 and 11. The unique and the unusual about the book of Ephesians. Paul tells servants, slaves, in today's language, to be obedient to them that are your masters. 6 and 5. Why? Because God will reward such behavior. 6 and 8. So what? In him, Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, NIV. So let's get into our new word this morning and get excited and giddy for Jesus with me, y'all. And the word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Can we say that again? In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be in him. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I want to read that again. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise because we believe and we trust in our Father God, and we know and believe and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you, God, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We got to thank God. We got to pray for each other. We pray for the good, for the bad, and we pray for the downright ugly. We pray for those that do not know the Lord to be saved, to be set free, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's where our title came from this morning. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, is not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can the church this morning say amen? What a mighty word God has given us. And a life lesson for this word is this. In Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God is not stingy when it comes to bestowing his blessings on his much-loved children. All I can say is thank you, God, for the miracles that have happened in my own life. And as we continue, it says, whoo! He has already given us every spiritual blessing, securing them for us in heaven where none can be stolen, damaged, or kept back. I look forward to seeing being with the Lord one day. One day. In God's time, not mine. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 1 and 18, know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There is a big difference between having the blessings of God and enjoying them. We move from the former to the latter by learning what those blessings are and then laying hold of them by faith. We got to ask God for that faith that surpasses all understanding. We got to ask God to guide us and lead us and to give us strength. Because it's so easy to fall off and be knocked out of our square of light that can only come from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We got to pray. And we got to ask God to guide and lead us and give us strength and to protect us from the wiles of the evil one. Because he is busy. And it says this exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. The disciples continually marveled at the overwhelming power, miracles that the Lord performed. And when we go over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 33, it says, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb that and the multitude marveled that it was never so seen in Israel. And we're going to go back up and see what exactly happened. And it says this, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spat, and the multitude marveled that it was never so seen in Israel. And we're going to go over to chapter 21 of Matthew and verse 20, and we may read around it. But we want to make sure we get it in context. And when we go, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, says, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And we know this story. Jesus was hungry, went to a fig tree, didn't have any fruit. So he cursed it. So let's go back and see what it says. And it goes on to say, now in the morning, he returned to the city. He hungered. So let's go back to verse 16. So they did it all right. And said unto him, here's what this says. And he said to them, ye have you never read out of the mouth of babes and suffering. Thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city beyond it, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and but thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's the word. That's one of them highlightables. But understand, and it goes on, let's go over to Mark. We'll go to verse 41. And again, we may go up to 40, depending on the context. And we are going to go up to actually verse 40. And it says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And we're going to go back up because we want to understand. We talked about this before. And it says, and these arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, that same power is available to us by faith through the Spirit. Calm the wind. And we do it through prayer and faith. And this is what the Word of God says, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in us. And it says this in Ephesians 1:13-14. Tells us you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. But did you know that we can short-circuit the effective work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by grieving him? Paul wrote, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll get to that when we get to Ephesians chapter 4. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve him when we disobey God's commandments and when we choose to act in unrighteous ways. In other words, we displease the Lord when we know what to do and then choose to do the opposite. The Ephesians knew very well that it was not godly to lie still, remain angry with one another, or speak cutting, hurting words to each other. They knew that such evil things to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. Paul lived and ministered among the Ephesians for 2 years, and his ministry had a powerful impact on the entire city of Ephesus. And yet Paul had to remind the Christians not to do the things common among the non-Christians. It was as if he had to go back to square one with them. When the Ephesians broke the most obvious of God's commandments, they caused sorrow in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, in effect, your ungodly behavior breaks the heart of God. Your ungodly behavior breaks the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved not only because our conduct tarnishes God's good name, but also because his love, he loves us and deeply desires to reward us, bless us, and see good fruit produced in and through us, not just discipline us. He knows that sin injures us and saddles our lives with negative consequences. When we know what our loved ones do things that harm them, we feel grieved, so does he. So how can we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? We can choose to keep God's commandments and to lead as lead a disciplined life by depending on the power of the Spirit. When we sin, we confess the sin immediately and repent of it, changing our minds and our behavior to conform to God's word. As we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and help us every day, we gain his help to enjoy a successful Christian walk. He keeps our footing sure. Thank you, God, for that word this morning. And before we get out of here today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our word from our sister in Christ is this. No matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, all up in the word this morning, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. Have a triumphant Thursday. Sister Carolyn is all up in our word. And again, she never knows what God has given me. God just gives that to her, and it just always seems to fit. And so all I can do is say thank you, Lord, for my sister in Christ and for the gift of her words of encouragement. And one more time this morning, no matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. I like to say, none of it can knock you off your square. Keep God first, whatever it is that you're going through. And this is the word that God gave us in a prayer this morning. Stay in focus. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 NIV. Compassionate one, you are full of love that keeps giving. There are no shortages of your kindness. Though our natural resources are limited, they will eventually run out. Yours are infinitely abundant. It's too much to imagine that length of your goodness. May my attention continually be brought back to you. You are too beautiful to overlook. When I think about your ways and the indescribable loving kindness that saturates your every move, I can't help but be overwhelmed by the glory of it. Your patience reflects your great kindness. It is not manipulative, easily angered, or full of itself. Your pure love draws me in time and again. I can't help but let it. Why would I fight the current of your affections? I let the waves crash over me. You refresh me in every possible way. Here I am, Lord. There is nowhere else I'd rather be. And a word to think about today is, how does the abundance of God's love influence your relationship? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord today, knowing that our Father God, who art in heaven, is watching over you today and always. Keep God first. And remember, Lord God, he asks you to give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Believe it and trust it in the Lord. And we stay together. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.